Relationship Psych, the podcast, helping you design the relationship you want. With couples therapy costing a pretty penny, Relationship Psych gives you access to couples therapy insights without spending a dime. Tune in for discussions on communication, managing conflict, recovering from infidelity, attachment, and more. I'm your host, Amber Dawson. I'm a psychologist and couples therapist. A few of my favorite things are my husband, grapes, and my adorable little dog, Riggs. Simply by listening, you're going to get tools to help you and your partner create a loving and harmonious relationship that can withstand the test of time. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be misconstrued for specific relationship advice. For advice for your specific relationship, seek out a local couples therapist in your area. Today's episode of Relationship Psych, we are talking about why your partner is defensive and how to change it. Maybe you have tried to raise an issue with your partner and they just make excuses. Or maybe they whine and complain when you bring up an issue. They're like, here we go, not again. Or worse, they turn the issue on you. Having a partner respond with defensiveness is hard. Or maybe you're the person listening who responds in these ways and you're not really sure why you do this and you're not sure what to do about it. Well, keep listening and we'll talk about common reasons people are defensive and how to overcome it. So first, what is defensiveness? Defensiveness is a way of responding to your partner that attempts to ward off a real or perceived attack. This can be done by playing innocent victim, like whining or making excuses, like saying, oh, this wasn't my intention or I didn't mean it. Or by using righteous indignation, which is counter-criticism. So if they come to you and they're like, hey, I'm so tired. Why didn't you think of me last night when we were sleeping? You'd be like, I'm tired too, and you don't think of me. So to summarize that again, defensiveness is responding to your partner in a way that wards off an attack. It's either righteous indignation or innocent victim. So this is an important pattern to change. Because defensiveness erodes good communication and it's a predictor of relationship deterioration and divorce. And if you're in a relationship, you probably want it to be happy and last. So it's a good reason to make some changes. So there are lots of different reasons why people are defensive, and I have a list of five. This is not an exhaustive list. There are certainly more reasons why people are defensive. One of the main patterns I see in couples therapy why people are defensive is they're actually being criticized by their partner. When you criticize your partner, there is an increased chance they are going to respond with defensiveness. So just think about it. If I walk up to you and I push you, most of us are going to brace, push back. When you criticize your partner, it's like a push. They brace, maybe they push back. So if you're accidentally bringing up issues and you're doing it in a critical way, then there's a good chance your partner is going to become defensive in response. So in a little bit, we're going to talk about how to bring up issues. The second reason people are commonly defensive is they have a history of being criticized. So it might be the history might be in your relationship. Maybe this particular time, you weren't defensive. Or sorry, maybe you weren't critical. But if you have a pattern of being critical in the relationship, your partner's going to be on guard for you to be critical even when you're not. Maybe this is something that happened before you. Maybe they had a past partner that was very critical, so they're going to be hypervigilant to being criticized again. Or maybe they grew up in a family system where they were criticized a lot as kids. Those people are going to have a history of responding with defensiveness. So even if you didn't create the pattern of defensiveness, your partner may still respond to you in that way because that's what they're used to. They are used to being criticized. And for them, it's happening whether or not you perceive that you're doing it. The third reason that some people get defensive is they feel shame or not good enough. Feeling shame feels bad. Feeling not good enough feels bad. Making a mistake feels bad. And shame, the distinction I heard from Brené Brown around shame is I am bad. I'm fundamentally like flawed versus guilt, which is whoops, I made a mistake. And when people feel shame, they don't like that emotion. It washes over them and it's heavy and gross. You know what is easier than feeling shame? being righteous and being angry. So if I can place that bad feeling back on you and be righteous, I don't have to sit in the yucky feeling of shame or not being good enough. I can place the blame back on you and get out of my bad feelings. And anger typically is an emotion that feels better to people than shame. Maybe they grew up in a family system. The fourth reason people are defensive is maybe they grew up in a family system where defensiveness is what they saw. Maybe their mother or their father, or that's just how everybody responded to each other, was that's just the way the family was. And so when they think about communicating or listening to someone, all they know how to do is be defensive. And lastly, maybe whining or making excuses has gotten them off the hook in the past. So if they're like, oh, but I didn't mean it that way, or oh, why do we have to talk about this again? Maybe their partner or their parent just gets so fed up with them that they're like, okay, whatever, and they don't even bother having the conversation. So defensiveness has worked in the past. Equally, maybe righteous indignation has worked in the past. If I flip it back on you and I get counter angry at you, then the spotlight isn't on me anymore. So maybe it's worked. So there are lots of reasons that people can be defensive. And so the only way to know how come you might be defensive or your partner might be defensive would be to ask, like, hey, what's going on with me, or what's going on with you that you're responding this way? And to do that in a curious, non-judgmental way. So there's plenty of reasons that people are defensive. Nevertheless, defensiveness, like I said, it's an important pattern to change because it's a predictor of relationship deterioration and divorce. And if you're in a relationship, you want it to work. So you probably have a good reason for being defensive. And there are lots of tools to help you to respond in a different way that's likely to promote harmony, understanding, teamwork, and a happy relationship. So if you're defensive, here are some tools, some things you can do to demonstrate you hear your partner and to get out of this pattern. So I want to highlight that to do this requires some degree of emotional regulation. It is hard to overcome responding defensively, and some degree of personal sacrifice for the shared gain of your relationship. Because maybe when you're defensive, you want to prove your point, prove you're right. But as the old saying goes, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? It might be also helpful to examine where the defensiveness comes from inside you. Do you feel like you're being criticized? If so, you're more likely to respond defensively. Or maybe growing up you were criticized, and being criticized is a trigger, and so now you're sensitive to any negative feedback in any way. With greater understanding comes an increased ability to change how you respond when you're triggered. If you can name what's happening to you, you're more likely to be able to tame what is happening to you. So if you're looking for tools to demonstrate you actually hear your partner, here are three things you can do. One, listen to what they are saying and just summarize back the words you are hearing them say. So if I said to my partner, hey, I'm really frustrated because you didn't take the dog out last night, a summary would be something like, okay, I get it. You're frustrated because I didn't take the dog out. That's a summary. You're not interpreting, you're not judging, you're just rephrasing back what they said to you. That's one way to overcome defensiveness and demonstrate your hearing. A second thing to do is to listen to what your partner is saying and consider what is reasonable about what they're saying and comment on that. So in the example of the dog, if your partner is upset because you didn't take the dog out, you might think in your head, what is reasonable about that statement? Okay, it's reasonable I didn't take the dog out, maybe they're frustrated. So you'd say back, yep, I get it. I can see why you'd be upset that I didn't take the dog out. Now, that idea of being thinking about what is reasonable, what you can do, there's a concept by the Gottmans called yielding to win. And when your partner raises a complaint, no matter what their tone is or the way they've presented it, if you can step back and think, what is reasonable about what my partner is saying? And how can I say something back to that? So for example, maybe I came in and I'm like, oh my gosh, I slept terribly last night because the dog was growling all night. And then when I got up, there was a poop in the hallway because you didn't take the dog out last night. And you know what? I'm just so frustrated that I have to take the dog out in the morning and deal with the poop. And you get overwhelmed just hearing your partner and their complaint. What it requires you to do then to respond in a non-defensive way, step back and say, what is reasonable? Well, maybe it's reasonable that my partner is upset they had to deal with dog poop. Maybe it is reasonable my partner's upset that I didn't take the dog out. You can respond to whatever you think is reasonable. So you could say in this case, I get it. It would be super frustrating to wake up with the dog poop everywhere. You don't have to comment on everything they've said. You don't have to agree with everything your partner has said. Just think about one point that is reasonable and talk to that point that is yielding to win with your partner, that is putting some stuff aside and thinking about what is one part that is reasonable with your partner and sharing that back. The third thing you could do to overcome defensiveness is take responsibility for your part in whatever their complaint is. So using that last same example, if you didn't take the dog out, then they pooped on the floor and your partner was up all night because the dog was crying. This is like the up level, but taking responsibility would sound like, I get it and totally know you're upset. It's my bad. I didn't take the dog out last night. That's why we're in this position. When you take responsibility for your part in the complaint, it really makes your partner feel heard and like you get it and like you're part of a team. So these three tools we've just gone over are all quite similar. At their base, you have to listen to what your partner is saying and turn towards what they are saying, not defend it. You have to honor that something about what they're saying is reasonable and valid for them. So you could just summarize back what they're saying. You could think about what is reasonable about what they're saying and comment on that. Or you could take responsibility for whatever your part is in the complaint. I know how much regulation and how hard this can be to do. And doing this can drastically help your relationship. Now, maybe you're not the person who gets defensive. Maybe you're the person who is trying to communicate with someone who responds defensively. Let's talk about some tips for what you can do to communicate a problem to your partner, especially if your partner commonly responds with defensiveness. I got three tips for you. The first tip is pay attention to how you raise an issue. If you criticize your partner, use blame, use contempt, or make negative assumptions about your partner, they are likely to respond with defensiveness. How you raise an issue matters. So consider these two ways of raising a complaint. The complaint is you have a 3-month-old baby. You are both exhausted and you want at least 6 hours of sleep in a row so you can feel like a human again. Here's thing one you could say. You aren't helping. You never consider how exhausted I am. You're just thinking about how much sleep you need and thinking about yourself. Okay? Here's the second presentation. Babe, I'm exhausted. Having a 3-month-old baby is so hard. Can we have a conversation about how I can get 6 hours of uninterrupted sleep in a row? I really need it. Which one would make you more defensive? Presentation one or presentation two? For most people, presentation one is going to make them more defensive. Because when you lead and say, you aren't helping, there you're placing blame. You never consider how exhausted I am. When we use an always or never, right away that triggers in the other person to look for exceptions to what you just said. And always and never are extreme and exaggerated because almost nothing is an always or never. Then again, we go on to you're just thinking about yourself and how much sleep you need. Again, it's another kind of blame statement, but it's also giving your partner a negative attribution. This first way I raise the complaint is very likely to create a defensive reaction in your partner. Let's compare that to the second presentation, which was, babe, I'm exhausted. Having a 3-month-old is so hard. Can we have a conversation about how I get 6 hours of uninterrupted sleep in a row? I really need it. So first, babe, we've got like a term of endearment. Terms of endearment can go a long way in just adding a little bit of money to the relationship bank account. But then it places responsibility on you by saying how you are feeling. I'm exhausted. You're talking about your own emotions. Then you're describing the situation in a neutral way. Having a 3-month-old is hard. Then you're talking about what you need. I need 6 hours of uninterrupted sleep. When you talk about what you do want instead of what is wrong, it paves a path for your partner to figure out how can they help you. And it's not about them, it's about you. You need 6 hours of uninterrupted sleep. So this is less likely to create a defensive reaction. Now it still might, but it is less likely to. So if you want to be heard and decrease the chances your partner is defensive, it's critical to be thoughtful about how you raise an issue without criticizing, without blaming, without contempt, or without negative attributions. Because if you do these things, chances are your partner will be defensive. Like, for example, if I say, I think you're an asshole, it's really hard to sit back and say, gee, you're right. I didn't see it that way. I must be an asshole. So pay attention to how you raise an issue. A second tip is ask if it's a good time to talk. A mistake I see a lot of people make is assuming their partner is free to have a conversation or a difficult conversation. It's common if people have an issue to just start sharing the issue with their partner and hope they're going to respond well. But being a good listener and responding well is a practice, and it can be hard to do, especially if you're not very good at it. It's a practice that requires you to put your own thoughts and your own feelings on the back burner and just tune into what your partner is saying. This is really, really hard to do. Have you ever tried just listening to someone and putting all your own stuff on the back burner for a second and then showing up in such a way where you can take responsibility, see what's reasonable, or summarize it back? That's hard work. So set yourself up for success. You could say something to your partner like, hey, I want to chat. Is now a good time? Give them a chance to say yes or no. And if they say no, say when, and try to figure out a better time to have a conversation about the issue where they're more likely to be a better listener. The third thing you could try is to set your partner up for the response you're looking for. So most people aren't quite sure what to do when their partner presents a problem. So they hear a problem and they try to fix the problem. Very often, someone tries to fix the problem by defending themselves or to tell you whatever you're talking about wasn't their intention, in hopes if you clarify your intention, even though we're talking about probably the impact of the problem, it fixes the problem. Most of the time, though, when you're presenting an issue to your partner, you're not looking for them to solve the problem. You're looking to be heard, for them to take responsibility or to solve it moving forwards. So if you tell your partner what you actually want from them, it increases the chances that you're going to get it. Ultimately, you cannot make your partner respond without defensiveness. You can try to change how you present your issue and try some of these skills and hope they set your communication up for a better path. After all, if you make a change in how you communicate, it's likely that your partner will make a change too. And sometimes, though, the pattern of defensiveness is just so ingrained that couples therapy or individual therapy is going to be needed to make the change. And there are other people who don't want to change or even think they need to change. And these people are unlikely to change no matter what you do.
Thank you for tuning in to Relationship Psych, the podcast, put on by Ember Relationship Psychology. If you're looking for more free relationship help or advice that comes straight from the couples therapy room, check out the free resources and the blog at www.emberrelationshippsychology.com.